The title of the message tonight is Blessed Tree or Cursed Shrub. Don't you love it? Blessed Tree or Cursed Shrub. I've been reading through the books of the New Testament again. And I was reading the book of James. And in verse 12 of chapter 1, I think it is, says, Blessed is the man that endures temptations. Let me find that real quick. Because this is what spurred this message. Wasn't looking for it. It's just how the Lord works. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So after I read that verse, I started thinking about blessed is the man. Because, you know, it also, the scripture talks about blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, blessed is the Lord. But I really focused on blessed is the man. Well, as I was going through, there's about, maybe 15, 20 different verses that talk about blessed is the man. I came to Jeremiah. And for some reason, I know the reason, the Lord just had me camp on Jeremiah. And I think about the reason why. When you talk to most Christians, and I'm making a very general statement here, okay? Most Christians believe they are blessed, okay? Regardless of what they do in their lives. They believe they are blessed. And if you believe you are blessed regardless of what you do, then that's not scriptural, okay? That's not scriptural. Because... And I'll show you why I said that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Even though we are not under the law, we are still bound by standards of Scripture. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Do you see that? Now, do you also see that the verse does not end there? Okay. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, where? In Christ. So, if we are not living our lives in Christ, are we blessed? I mean, the blessings are there for us. God has already made them available. But if we're not living in Christ, how can we access those blessings? We can't. Okay? And see, most in the body of Christ think that they are blessed simply because they are born again and are slated for an eternity with the Father. You can be all of that and not be walking in the blessing. Okay? Give an example. Got on Facebook today. I know how Pastor talks about Facebook. So I didn't spend a long time on it. You know, Pastor, you did pick that up, right, Steve? And so Pastor would hear that part? Okay. I didn't spend long on Facebook, but I saw something that, and I normally don't respond to things, but I just had to because I knew the person. Okay? The person had put a selection of photographs of nice-looking gentlemen, black gentlemen, Denzel Washington. He was the only one I knew, okay? That's all I got to say about that. So the question she asked the ladies was, if you could have one night, who would you choose? And this is a person who I know believes she's blessed and who believes that God is protecting her and God is watching over her and all those sort of things. But she asked that question. So I got into the comments section. And so I just asked one simple question. I said, shouldn't we be married first? Shouldn't we be married first? Did not get a response. Did not get a response. And see, that's a deception that the enemy of the soul has gotten the body of Christ into. we have no problem now having intimacy before marriage. That's okay now. It's everybody. That's just what you do. And I'm not going to belabor this, but I want to say it anyway. I saw on Facebook where there was a poll done of Christians. And the poll was, is premarital sex acceptable? 73% said yes. Christians. 73% says yes. This was the poll of Christians. And some of the comments were, you should live together to see if it's going to work. Another comment was, and I, when I read this, and I said, oh my God. One of the comments was, you know, wouldn't you want to test drive before you make the purchase? Now see, that comment bothered me more than anything. Yeah. You want to know why? Because who is the one who's being test driven? The female. Do you hear me? It's the female that's being test driven. It's not the guy. And yet, a Christian said that in the comment section. You want to test drive before you make the purchase. And I said, yeah, you keep thinking that and you're on your way to a lake of fire. But see, no, if you ask most in the body of Christ, they have no problem with premarital sex. They have no problem with that. They live together. They have no problem with that. They don't realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible says that when you live in such a way, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 21, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. If that's your lifestyle, if that's how you live, you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, Lord, you're doing it again. You're going to get to the judgment day, and you're going to be there thinking you're going to go to heaven, and Jesus is going to say, I didn't know you because of the way you lived your life here. Okay? So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. When you are living in Christ, then the blessings are available to you. Okay? Now turn with me to Jeremiah. We're going to look at what you see most often in the body of Christ today. In Jeremiah chapter 17. And for all of those of you who grew up in the 70s, Jeremiah was not a bullfrog. But he was a good friend of mine. Yeah, I know. Sean, stop laughing. Because if you don't stop laughing, I'm not going to stop laughing. Sean, when he laughs, it's just over for me. Jeremiah 17, look at verse 5. It says, and this is God, he's upset with Israel because of their dependency on Egypt when they get into a tight spot. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabit it. Blessed is the man, however, that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now let's go back to verse 5. Verse 5 says, cursed is the man. So my question, ladies and gentlemen, is what causes the curse? Okay? What causes the curse? What causes a person to be cursed? Now see, that question, if you had asked me that question when I was a teenager, I would have said, people can put a curse on you. Have you heard that? It's okay to admit that you've heard that, okay? Because see, now you're born again, so it doesn't affect you. But it's okay if you admit that, okay? I heard and believe that people could put a curse on you. But if you are faithful to Scripture, you're going to find out something different, okay? You want to find out something different real quick? Genesis chapter 3. We're going to go to the first two places where this word cursed is used in the Bible, okay? To find out how a person is cursed. Now, first of all, we know that when Adam sinned, he opened up the whole world to the curse that Satan wanted to leave by the sin nature. You know, we got thorns and thistles. Things started happening in the earth that did not exist before because Adam opened that door. Okay? Look at verse 14 of chapter 3. It says, "And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed." Who caused the curse to be upon him? The serpent, the person. The person caused the curse because they were outside the will of God. Okay? Look at verse 17. "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake." And when you see the word "for thy sake," it really means cursed is the ground because of you. Okay? So, why was the ground cursed? Because Adam disobeyed God. Okay? So, we know from reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And when you read in Numbers chapter 23, verse 20, remember when Balak was asked to curse Israel? And he said that what God has blessed, I cannot curse. Okay? So we know that once God blesses us, nothing outside of that can curse us. Do you see that? I want to make sure you see that. You understand that. When God blesses, no one can curse what God has blessed. So if we've been blessed by God, like the Bible says, then no one can curse us if we're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, ladies and gentlemen, you have walked away from the blessing and you have put yourself right smack dab in cursing land. Okay? So, going back, and see, I wanted to hit that because, see, that's still a belief to this very day, depending on who you are, that you can be cursed by someone. But see, if you have the life and the nature of God living in you, and you are living by that life and nature, don't you realize, ladies and gentlemen, you are untouchable. When it comes to things like that, you are untouchable. See, you often hear me use words like that because I'm trying to communicate who you really are, what is really at work on the inside of you. The life and nature of God Almighty is working inside of you, lives inside of you. And see, if I keep saying this long enough, loud enough, some point it's going to click in that God lives in me. And if God lives in me, the things that are impossible to those who don't have God won't be impossible to me. Amen? I've said this before, and I'm going to repeat myself. Let your 2016 be the year that you grab a hold of understanding who you are more than ever before. Let that be your 2000. If you have no other goal for 2016, let it be, I'm going to understand who I really am as a child of God. I'm going to understand what it means when Ephesians says that when Jesus was raised from the dead, we were raised with him. When Ephesians says we are now seated in the heavenlies with Jesus, what that means. What that means. Let's look at the cursed shrub. Back to verse 5 in chapter 17. It says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. So, what is the first thing that we see in this verse that causes the man to be cursed? He trusts in man. Okay? Now, I ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Most of the body of Christ, who are they really trusting in? It's not God. It's not God. Look at the decisions we make. It's not God. Okay? And you wonder why things happen in your life the way they happen. It's because you... Write this down. We curse ourselves. We curse ourselves when we don't live according to this. We curse ourselves. Okay? We open up that door for the curse to come into our lives when we don't live by this. Okay? Look in, think, as we talk about that trusteth in man, look at Isaiah chapter 30. I'm going to show you some things. In Isaiah chapter 30, look at verse 1. And find something to hold your spot in Jeremiah 17, because that's where we're going to be all night, okay? In Isaiah chapter 30, look at verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children. Woe to the rebellious children. Okay, God, why are the children rebellious? That take counsel, but not of me. Who trusteth in man. Who take counsel, but they don't take counsel from me. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. The court, when he says covering with a covering, it's the picture he's painting is you have anointed another king to be over your life and rather than me. Woe to the rebellious children. That cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. And why do they do that? That they may add sin to sin. When you have a covering other than God, when you have someone else you are trusting other than God, you're adding sin to sin. And if you think about what has happened in the last 15, 18 months in this country, sin has been added to sin. Okay? That walk to go down into Egypt. Remember the whole issue with God in Jeremiah was to trust in Egypt. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. You are walking to Egypt. You are trusting in Egypt and you have not asked me counsel at all. Cursed is the man that trusted in man. And have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. In the shadow of Egypt. Okay? Shadow means covering. You want Egypt to cover you. Therefore, verse 3, shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion or your disgrace. When you trust in man. The second thing it talks about in verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 17 is that maketh flesh his arm. Staying here in Isaiah, look at chapter 31. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Woe to them that go to the Obama administration for help. Woe to them that depend on their congressmen for help. Woe to them that depend on their senators for help. Woe to them that depend on their governors for help. Woe to them that depend on their job for help. And stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many. We trust in all these things, all these people, because they are many. We are looking with our natural eyes, ladies and gentlemen. Because they are many and in horsemen. Because they are very strong. The government is very strong. Those who rule are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel. But they look not to the Holy One of Israel. Neither seek the Lord. Cursed is the man who put his trust in man and whose arm and who maketh flesh his arm. Verse 2. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will rise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men. The president, the vice president, your congressman, your senators, these are men. The CEOs of your company, these are men. Do you see this? These are men. And not God. These are men and not God. And their horses' flesh, all their resources that they have available to you is flesh. It's not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth, all the ones you are depending on for help, shall fall. And he that is helped, you put your trust in man, you've made flesh your arm, and he that is helped shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. Do you see the picture he's painting? He's painting a picture of you're trusting in what you can see, you're trusting in what you can hear and feel, and you're not trusting in what's in here, which is my life, my nature. This is what you should be trusting in. Verse 5 of chapter 17 also says, and whose heart departed from the Lord. That is the issue. That's the problem. You've trusted in man so long, you've trusted in the arm of flesh so long, your heart has departed from the Lord. You no longer have a relationship with the Lord anymore because you've been dependent on man for so long. How do we do that, ladies and gentlemen? Because we keep our heads in the world all the time. We don't keep our heads here. We keep our heads in the world. That's why cursed is the man who trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. What we read in the Old Testament is a shadow of what happens, of what we read in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, a verse you're all familiar with. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall make a decision to leave the faith on purpose. And why do they do that? They may not realize that's what they're doing, but when they make flesh their arm, they are making a decision to leave the faith on purpose. giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Look at Isaiah chapter 29. Hold your finger in Timothy, 2 Timothy. But we're going to Isaiah chapter 29. I want to say something. It just came across my mind. Every time someone stands in this pulpit, pastor, me, Brother Gary, whoever it may be, the whole point is teaching faithful men and women who can take the word and go and teach others also. It's not just to be taught and it stays right here. It's for you to take it to other men and women. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. Isaiah 29, look at verse 13. Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, they sound so good in church. They say all the right things in church. And when you're not in church and they're around other Christians, they say all the right things to other Christians. But their heart is far from me, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart. Have removed their heart far from me. And the fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Again, they're depending on man to know about what God desires, because their heart is far from him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 2, the first part of verse 2. This really describes what's going on in Jeremiah chapter 17. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And ladies and gentlemen, when you love yourself, yourself is what matters. Whether, now, if what you believe does not agree with God, you love yourself first. But here's the hard part. Look down at verse 4, the last part of verse 4. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now let me show you how I read this, okay? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I just put them right together. I just put them right together because it paints a picture. You love yourself and pleasure more than lovers of God. And what's so devastating to me is he's not talking about Joe Blow, Sin, Nature, Johnson. He's talking about people like Barry Orlando Johnson. Now you know my middle name. That's who he's talking to. We have become lovers of ourselves so much that the next thing we want is pleasure. And if we don't get pleasure from serving God, guess what? He doesn't get our service. We want the pleasure. And that's where most of the body of Christ is today. Otherwise, why do we have the talk about prosperity? Giving money, giving money, giving money. Because we want pleasure for ourselves. Because you and I both know, those who buy into the prosperity message, they're not giving money so that the gospel can move. They're giving money so God can move for them. They're giving money so God can move for them. Okay? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the Bible says, when you encounter a person like that, you turn away. You turn away. You run fast. Okay? So we have seen in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, what he's really talking about, why we are cursed. We are cursed because we have put our faith in man wholeheartedly. Because he makes the point, you trust in man and you make flesh your arm. And then your heart has departed from God. As I was reading that, I want to share with you what the Lord shared with me. And I'm telling you, this is not for the faint of heart. Okay? My children have walked away from me, and more will follow. My children have walked away from me, and more will follow. They have sought comfort where there is no comfort. They have sought peace where there is no peace. What they seek, comfort and peace, they lost when they left me. How did they leave me, you ask? They ignored my stirring of their spirits to trust me instead of someone, to trust me instead of their emotions, and to trust me instead of what they were seeing and what they were hearing. The voices of their souls had grown louder than the voice of my life in them. The voice of their souls had grown louder than the voice of my life in them. They are doing nothing more than forfeiting their divine rights as stewards of their own destinies, the destinies I have planned for them. Instead of putting their complete and unwavering trust in me, they have yielded themselves over to the sweet, soothing voice of deception. I cannot be trusted to provide for them, the voice says. I cannot be trusted to protect them, the voice says. But you can depend on me to do for you, the voice says. The error, my children, is in believing that it, whatever the it is for you, whatever the it is for you, has to be done for you. The error, the mistake, is to believe that. I love this next one. The resources of heaven are as close to you as the breath you just took. Can I get an amen? Amen. The resources of heaven are as close to you as the breath you just took. The enemy will always direct your attention away from your strength, me, and onto the world. When you follow his deception, his sweet and soothing words, you are walking into what is cursed and walking away from what is blessed. And then he took me to Psalm 62. He says this is what should be our heart's desire. Psalm 62. And we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. The resources of heaven are as close to you as the breath you just took. My, my. Psalm 62, look at verse 5. This is how God wants us to be. My soul, wait thou only, if you do anything else, underline the word only, upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. On my way to heaven, I shall not be moved. On my way to heaven, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the living waters. I shall not be moved. You ever heard that? You have, because I just sung it. Now see, that's an extra. You got it because you came. Okay, that's an extra. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. In God is my salvation, my deliverance, and my glory. In God is my deliverance and my life. The rock of my strength, my refuge, is in God. Trust in him part of the time. Trust in him 80% of the time. All times. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Because remember we talked about in Isaiah, their heart was far from him. He's saying here, you pour out your heart before me. God is a refuge for us. When you are, we just described the cursed shrub. Now we're going to look at verse 6. Verse 6 is where he describes the cursed shrub. It's an uninhabitable wasteland a person chooses by rejecting God. You choose this, ladies and gentlemen. This is what you choose when you do verse 5. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. When you do verse 5, you get verse 6. Okay? Like the heath, when he says that, he's saying it's like a tree, that's a blasted tree that doesn't have any moisture, and it's parched and withered. You've seen those type of trees. You can go up and you can just kind of peel the bark off of them, and the bark is so dry and you can crumble it in your hands. Okay? He says, you shall not see when good cometh. He's describing a plant that's so damaged by lack of moisture that no amount of rain or water can revive it. Cursed is the man that when he walks in there continually, he becomes like a plant that no amount of water you give it, it won't revive. You've seen them. You can just look at them. They're brown. They're very rigid. You can just take your finger and just tip them over and break them. And it doesn't matter what you do to them. You can put all the water you want to, put all the moisture. It does not change that plant. And that is what he is describing about the person who is cursed because of what they have done in verse 5. You are like that plant that no matter what is done now, you cannot be revived. And he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabit it. He's talking about this word shall inhabit. In the Hebrew, it's the same word. When you read in John chapter 15 where it says, abide in me and I will abide in you. You're setting up a place of rest. You're going to remain there continually. This what he's talking about. You have set up residence in a place that is not livable. It's not livable. Because of what you have done, you set yourself up in a place that's not livable according to the nature that is at work on the inside of you. That is why you're cursed. Now let's look at the blessed tree, and this won't take long. In verse 7, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, as opposed to trusting in man, as opposed to making flesh his arm, who trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. He trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. And when he does it, look at verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. And I want you to think about what Jesus describes of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 7. It says, rivers of living water shall flow out of us, out of our bellies. He's like that tree that's planted by waters, who spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. That word he should be heat, H-E-A-T, when heat cometh. In the Hebrew, it's talking about he shall not fear the heat. Why? His roots are deep in the water. So no matter what's going on up here, what's below the surface, what's working in the place that is unseen, what is working in the place that is unseen. That is why he doesn't fear what you can see. Because what is working in the unseen area is what is taking care of him. Hold your finger here and look at Mark chapter 4. He's talking about persecutions. And in Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. And in Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 16 and 17. It says, well, verse 16, and these are they that likewise which are sown on stony grounds, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction and persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. Why? They have no root. Now, I want you to notice something, ladies and gentlemen. In Mark, where is the root? Where is the root? Verse 17, what does it say? And have no root in themselves. Have no root in themselves. Do you see that? You are responsible, ladies and gentlemen, for your roots and how deep your roots go. No one else. No one else. Pastor's not responsible. God is not responsible. You are responsible for your roots and how deep they go. And the deeper they go, the more you are going to be able to endure in afflictions and persecutions. The deeper your roots go. And how do we grow deep roots? The sower sows the word. Okay? When your roots are by the river, where the living water flows, you won't wilt under the pressure of persecution or affliction. Okay? It also says in verse 8, shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The word not be careful is the same word in the Hebrew that's in the Greek in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be ye careful, be ye anxious for nothing, but in thanksgiving make your requests known to the Lord. That's what he's talking about, okay? And then he says, neither cease from yielding fruit. Look at Psalm 92, and then we're going to go to Psalm chapter 1 and close it out. In Psalm 92, we're going to look at verses 12 through 15. It says, neither cease from yielding fruit. When you are a tree that's planted by living waters, when the drought cometh, neither shall ye cease from bearing fruit. Psalm 92, did I say? Yes, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Those who are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, who are living in Christ, shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Hallelujah. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now, we know that fat and flourishing is kind of the same words that was used to describe the promised land. Okay? To show the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Okay? You shall not cease from bearing fruit. And what kind of fruit is he talking about prophetically? The fruit necessary to produce to produce godly results, to add family members. That's the fruit we are to produce, to add family members. And so I guess the fruit we're produce is Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, love, joy. Okay? And we're going to close in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is almost like reading Jeremiah 17. Psalm 1 is like reading Jeremiah 17. But there's a lot of instruction in there for us. In Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who does not trust in man. Blessed is the man who does not make flesh his arm. Blessed is the man whose heart has not departed from the living God. This man is blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. Now, when it says standeth in the way of sinners, it's not like a sinner is coming and you're standing. He's talking about your fellowship is not with sinners. You don't spend a lot of time with folks who are not Christians, and you don't spend a lot of time with Christians who are not living a godly life. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. When you get on Facebook and you read some of the things that Christians say about the president, about the Supreme Court, about this and about that, you are, when you read that stuff, you are sitting in seats of the scornful. Because what they are doing, they are violating what God has told us to do. First Timothy, or is it Second Timothy, says, pray always for your leaders. When you open your mouth, ladies and gentlemen, you have two choices. You're going to speak words that bring a curse, or you're going to speak words that bring blessing. Make a decision tonight. You never let a negative thought be born out of your mouth. Let it die unborn. Let negative thoughts, whatever comes, die unborn. Because every time, we don't realize that when we give birth to words, they don't die. Let negative thoughts die unborn. Don't give them life. Don't give them life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is the law of the Lord. This is his delight. And in the law doth he meditate day and night. Now, when you read meditate day and night, don't think about you never get any sleep. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is when you're in your waking hours, as you put the word on, and if you pr- and If you could pray in tongues as you do it, that's a great benefit too. But you're putting the word on. And even when you are sleeping, the word is working in your life. It's working in your life. Sean has told me, and I hope I get this right, Sean, about some things that he wanted to do, and he sleep on it. And when he sleeps on it, the answer is there the next day. It's the word. You're meditating day and night, day and night, day and night. And then verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. What does that tell us, ladies and gentlemen? The fruit is coming. When you do verses 1 and 2, the fruit will come. That bringeth forth the fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall come to pass. Whatsoever he do shall prosper, shall come to pass. Why? Because you delight in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord does meditate day and night. We are both responsible for the cursing that we make ourselves available to and the blessing that we make ourselves available to. And they're both hinged on the same thing, our response to God and his word. More importantly, they're based on how we respond to this, that spirit on the inside. If we don't respond to that spirit on the inside, then we're going to say things that we shouldn't say and give birth to them. But if we always listen with the ear to our spirits, the only thing we're going to produce, ladies and gentlemen, is life. And Lord knows this world needs life. We have family members who need life. We have friends who need life. And that's what we need to give them, life. Amen? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So when you trust in the Lord and he is your hope, when you trust in the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, when you put all of your eggs in one basket, that goes contrary to what the world tells us. You never put all your eggs in one basket. God says, put the eggs in one basket. You can even throw bricks at those eggs in that basket, but the bricks are not going to touch your eggs. Because see, when you put your eggs in one basket, you better believe the enemy of the soul is going to be throwing bricks. Because he wants to crack those eggs, and at the same time, he wants to put a crack in your faith. But when you put all your eggs in one basket, and like the word of God says, we read, and I shall not be moved. When you make a decision to not be moved, and you put all your eggs in one basket, and you say, God, you're my father. I'm trusting you. I don't care what it looks like. What I have done in the past is past. It didn't work. So it's time to do something different. And the only thing I know to do is just to put up my hands, open myself up, and say, God, they're my eggs. Here are my eggs. Make a decision like that, ladies and gentlemen. And you're going to see what God can do with those eggs. I know the analogy is kind of funny, but when you think about eggs, how fragile they are, you're telling God, I am giving you the most fragile thing that I have, which is me. You are the most fragile thing that you have. And you're telling God, I'm giving myself to you, Lord. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do but to give myself to you. And I'm not going to take myself back. I'm going to leave myself with you. When you make that decision, Lord have mercy. Remember how that prophecy, that word said that the resources of heaven are as close to you as the breath you just took? The resources of heaven are as close to you as the breath you just took. So ladies and gentlemen, when you go home tonight, start breathing heavy. Start breathing heavy. You want the resources of heaven to come into your life. Amen.